Grab your Bibles, hold it up real high, repeat after me. Say, this is God's word. Say it like you mean it. This is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the pastors of this church. And Lord, I pray today that the word that you have put in my heart, that every person who's connected to this ministry will hear it with an open heart, and they will allow what they hear to renew their minds to the point that they will take action. I thank you most of all for the vision at Word of Truth Family Church. And I pray that, Father, just like you've used us over the last 20 years, I thank you for using us even at a greater measure over the next 20 years. And we give you thanks and praise for the word today that is going to transform our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, can everybody say amen? Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for those of you who are joining us online. Let me start out by giving the vision here at Word of Truth Family Church. Our vision is to know Christ and what? And to make him known. And in order for that to happen, there are four things that we're going to do on a regular basis. And the reason I am saying this is because vision leaks. Everybody say vision leaks. Vision leaks. And so sometimes you have to go back over things for people to understand. And so in order for us to know Christ and to make him known, there are four things that you and I as a church, we must do on a regular basis. The first thing that we must do is that we must know Christ personally. Amen. You cannot introduce somebody to somebody that you don't know. So we must know Christ personally. And this is one of the main reasons we gather on Sundays. We gather on Sundays because every message is going to have or follow an altar call. The altar call is designed to give people an opportunity to know Christ as their personal Savior. Then the second thing we have to do to know Christ and to make him known, we have to know him personally. We then have to grow in him internally. In other words, you can learn, but not necessarily grow. And so what we use our true groups as one of the vehicles for people to grow internally. Because when you grow, it helps you, watch this, to develop roots, which will eventually helps you to produce fruit. Amen. And our true groups, if you're not part of one, is one of those vehicles that we use to help people not only just learn, but to grow. Because you'll learn in this room, but you'll grow in a smaller group. Amen. Then the third thing we must do is we must show Christ externally. And what that's about is just us serving. And one of the main ways that we serve is by serving one another in ministry, but we also serve outside. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men so they can see your good works and watch this and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So when you and I do good works, it causes our light to shine, which causes us to show Christ. Then the fourth thing that we need to do is that we need to now go sharing Christ locally and globally. And that's where our GO team is all about. And so you'll see once a month where we go out into the neighborhood, we go out into the city, and we share Christ in some way. And then we also do it globally or internationally. And that's what our team just came back from Jamaica. It was an amazing time. And I want to encourage you that if you weren't able to come on this missions trip, that you'll sign up and use your faith to go on the next one. Amen. And so as we took the time to honor the pastors that we have here, I thought it would be great to help you understand how you can make a difference. So just look at somebody and tell them you can make a difference. So if you're taking notes or if you need the notes, raise your hands and our ushers will give you some. But our message title this morning is God Gave Gifts to Equip. God gave gifts to equip. And the goal of the message today is to learn and produce understanding on how Christ has structured his church and then how you and I fit into that so we can experience fulfillment. Because the scripture tells us that you and I have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So when you and I are involved in doing good works, there's a level of fulfillment that you'll get than if for those who don't. So I want to jump right into this because the message is good. And this is one of those messages that will help and encourage you as a member of the church to not just be a bench member. So look at somebody and say, stop benching and start serving. Amen. Take it like you want to, okay? So here's our first point this morning, and that is, it's the same as our title, God Gave Gifts to Equip. God gave gifts to equip. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. I'm reading quite a bit of verses, but I want you to, we have to see the context of understanding how God gave gifts for us to be equipped. It says, now these are the gifts, everybody say gifts. These are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Who did Christ give these gifts to? To the church. He says, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do whose work? To do his work. And to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all have come to such unity in our faith and the knowledge of God's Son so that we will be mature. Say mature. That we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching, every new TikTok person. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like it's the truth. Verse 15, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part, listen to this, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Say amen to that. So there are several things that I want us to see about this scripture, but I really want to just zero in on just one. And here's the one that I want to focus in on. Christ gave the church gifts so that the saints can be equipped. Everybody say this with me. Say, Christ gave the church gifts so the saints can be equipped. How many saints we got in the room? Let me see your hand. All right, you didn't raise your hand. You ain't not a saint. I got something for you at the end, though. These gifts that Christ has given to the church, they have been given a nickname by the church. And this is where we get the name fivefold from. Okay, fivefold is not necessarily a biblical term, but it's a term that we have come up with that describes these five offices or these five gifts that Christ has put in the church. And these fivefold gifts, they are designed to help bring growth and maturity to the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ, in my opinion, is kind of fragmented right now. We have people all over the place. And one of the reasons that the church is fragmented is because there are those who feel like they don't have to be a part of a church or even be in church as a Christian. I can be a Christian without going to church. Yes, you can. The problem with that thinking is that it contradicts the word of God. I want you to notice in verse 16, in Ephesians 4:16, hopefully they can put verse 16 back up. It says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So how can the body grow, listen, if there are members of the body that are MIA? Now, here's the lie that most people who don't go to church, who are not connected to a church, who say they are believers, here's the lie that they have believed. I can grow, but I don't have to go. That's why we have some empty seats, because we have people watching, and it's okay to watch if you don't have access to coming here, because we have people that watch us all over the nation. But there are some people who are watching me right now who live right up the street. Mm-hmm. So the lie is, I don't have to go to grow. Well, the body cannot, listen, if my, let's say my role in the body, if it was the eye, and I decide to not participate in the body, not come to church, my question is, how is the rest of the body going to be able to see if I'm an eye and I'm not doing my part? So here's the thing about the lie. Just because a person is learning doesn't mean they're growing. I'm going to say that again. Just because a person is learning doesn't mean they're growing. This is why they give you a test in school. They are testing you to see if what you learn, you've grown enough, watch this, to go back and pass the test. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, the context is talking about silly women in the Bible, but listen to what it says about it. It says, they are ever learning but never coming into the knowledge of the truth. So it is possible to learn and not grow. Here's a take-home statement that I want you to take home with you. Spiritual perfection comes when there is fivefold connection. I'm going to say that again. Spiritual perfection. Everybody say spiritual perfection. Remember, the Bible told us that the fivefold are there to equip the saints so the saints could do the work of ministry. So spiritual perfection comes when there is fivefold connection. So if there's no fivefold connection in a person's life, when you say, what do you mean by fivefold connection? I'm talking about they are connected to one of those fivefold offices or positions that God has put in the church. And so if you find, listen now, if you find one of those five offices, whether it's an evangelist, whether it's a prophet, if they are not connected to a church, then they are not a gift to the church. So if you find somebody, the first question you need to ask them is, where do you go to church? Amen. It's because these fivefold gifts, they are designed to help us do the work of ministry, which is now edifying the body of Christ. In Ephesians 4:11, I'm going to read this one more time, because it says, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. And so those gifts are those different offices. And so come January, we're going to be doing, normally I would do an ordination on today, but I'm reserving that for January of 2026. We're going to be ordaining and licensing some additional ministers and pastors on staff. But also my role is going to be changing, not necessarily my role, but my function is going to move from pastoral over to the apostolic part. And you all will see what that means and what that's a part of, right? So it says in verse 12, their responsibility, talking about these five gifts, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, which is the body of Christ. So watch this now. I'm getting ready to take a hard left. So instead of the fivefold equipping God's people to do the work of ministry, we as the church think it is their part to do the work of ministry. Did you hear what I said? I said, instead of the fivefold offices or gifts equipping the saints to do the work of ministry, we've been trained as church people to think that those fivefold offices, they're supposed to do the work of ministry. But that's not what we read. We read that their role is to equip the people to do the work of ministry. Amen. And there's so many people, especially in traditional environments, that believe that one person, the pastor, ought to do everything. And that's why members expect the pastor to do every funeral. Touch your neighbor, he's getting ready. Touch your neighbor and say, he's getting ready to talk about you right now. Yeah, yeah. So we have church people who have been trained to expect the pastor to do every funeral. They expect the pastor to marry every couple. They're expecting every pastor to do all the hospital visits and to dedicate every baby and to do every house blessing and to do every business blessing and to lay hands and to pray over every person and to take every phone call and to teach every class and to preach every sermon. Don't that sound like a lot right there? It is impossible for one individual to do all of those things. Which brings us now to point number two, and that is elevation requires delegation. Elevation requires delegation. Anything that is healthy should grow, and listen, and growth requires organization and delegation. Let's go to Exodus chapter 18. And as I'm talking, you're probably going to see why Grandmama's church is dying. Did you know that 4,000 churches close every year? I did the math. When you take 4,000 churches and you multiply it times 20 years like we have been, you know, that's close to 100,000 churches that have closed since Word of Truth has been alive. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13 in the New Living Translation. It says, now the next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. They waited before him from morning to evening. But when Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked Moses, what are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all of this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening? Moses replied, well, it's because the people are coming to me to get a ruling from God. When a dispute rises, they come to me, and I'm the one who settles the cases between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's decrees, and I give them his instructions. Watch verse 17. Let's read verse 17 together. This is not good. Moses' father-in-law exclaimed, you're going to wear yourself out and the people too. Moses was trying to do it all himself. And Moses' father-in-law say, listen, if you keep doing this, you're going to wear yourself out and you're going to wear the people out. So then verse 19, he gives him some advice. He says, now listen to me and I'm going to give you a word of advice and may God be with you. You should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes to him. But then, and he said, by teaching them God's decrees and giving them his instructions and show them how to conduct their lives. But select from all the people some capable, notice the criteria, some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Amen. You can't love money and serve in ministry. You can't do that. He says, appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,000. I want you to notice now these different people that he's going to set up. He says you should have some that are groups of 1,000, groups of 100, groups of 50, and groups of 10. They should always be available to solve the people's common disputes. I want you to notice what he's saying about these people that Moses needs to raise up. They should always be available to solve people's common disputes. But have them bring the major cases to you. Let the leaders decide the smaller matters themselves. They will help you carry the load, making the task easier for you. If you follow this advice and if God commands you to do so, then you will be able to endure the pressures and all these people will go home in peace. Watch verse 24. Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice and he followed his suggestions. He chose capable men from all over Israel. He appointed them as what, church? As leaders over the people. He put them in charge of groups of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. These men were always available to solve the people's common disputes. They brought the major cases to Moses, but they took care of the smaller matters themselves. Now, I read all that to help you see something. Leaders and people in churches typically get sick, or some of them die prematurely, because God's work is not being properly distributed. I'm going to read one more verse to you. This is Philippians chapter 2, because here's an example of what I just said. See, this is why pastor lives don't last long, because the congregation is expecting the one pastor to do all of what I just read. The problem with that is there's only so much one person can do. So we find in the Bible there was this man named Epaphroditus who was supporting Paul. And what ended up happening is this guy got sick and almost died. We'll see why. Verse 25 in Philippians chapter 2. Paul says, I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing to see you and have been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill or sick, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. He says, I am more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice when you see him, so I can be less anxious. Watch verse 29. Here we go. He says, I want you to receive Epaphroditus. Don't name your kids that, by the way. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. Watch this. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete, watch this, what was lacking in your service to me. He was saying, this one man is trying to do everything that you all as a group could have done. And because now he's trying to do, one person is trying to do what a group should have done, he almost died because of that. And this is why we have other pastors in places, watch this, where the church's needs are not met, because the pastor is trying to do it all. And this is why we have people on staff. This is why we have those pastors. This is why we have leaders. Yes, give them one more hand clap. This is why we have ministry leaders. This is why we have people who serve on the dream team. Why? Because they help minister and serve the body, which brings us now to point number three, which now is going to talk about you, and that is your involvement increases your development. Your involvement increases your development. See, the goal of every church should be for the word of God to increase and for souls to be added into the kingdom. That should be the goal of every church. It's a sad day in heaven when a church exists and nobody gets saved. Listen to this, because at the end, all of the people that we have on staff, the goal is, watch this, for the word of God to be multiplied and for the word of God to go forth. That's the whole point. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Why? Because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. In other words, this is almost like, you know, the food stamps, you know, like they got nowadays where they help people. Okay, well, back in those days, and our church does too. You may not know this, but our church supports widows every month. You didn't know that, did you? Yes, they did. We do. Watch this. So then verse 2 says, then the 12 called the multitude of disciples to them, and they said, listen, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. He was saying it doesn't make sense for us to stop preaching just to serve food to the widows. So then verse 3 tells us, he says, look out among you seven men who of honest report, listen to this, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, that we can appoint over this business. But we, this is the apostles talking, he says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the what? Ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, so they chose Stephen, who was full of faith. They chose all these people's names, which some of them I know how to pronounce and some of them I don't, so I'm not going to try. But verse 6 says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, watch what happens, they laid their hands on them. Here's verse 7 that I wanted you to see. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. Why did these disciples increase? Why? Watch this there. The Bible uses the word multiply. Why did the disciples multiply? Because they put some people in charge that was able to do stuff that they couldn't do. Say amen to that. So I want you to notice now that delegation caused multiplication. I'm going to say that again. Delegation caused multiplication. Everybody say delegation caused multiplication. So your involvement as a member increases your development. You say, what do you mean by that? See, God has something for everybody to do. And as you do and get involved in those things, using the giftings and callings or whatever God has equipped you to do, when you get involved in doing that, two things happen. Number one, the body gets ministered to. But number two, you know what happens? God develops you too. Amen. You don't know how sweet you are until you become an usher and notice that the people don't listen to you. Amen. You don't know how much patience you have or don't have when you have to check in the kids who done ate a whole Snickers bar before they got back there. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 talks about the different giftings and the different graces that God gives each one of us. It says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, do what, church? Serve them. Didn't just say serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach what? Teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. You know, some people's giftings are to give. I did not know until I became a pastor that I had the gift of giving. So here it is. I was a believer all this time, you know, and when I became a pastor, which was at 40 years old, I discovered at 40 years old that I had a gifting that I didn't even know I had. He says, if it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility serious. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Because, church, it takes all of us for souls to get saved. I'm going to say that one more time. It takes all of us. Everybody say all of us. It takes all of us for people to get saved. Under this tablecloth here are over 700 commitment cards. This one says, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. This one says, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. This one says, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. This one says, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I could just go through. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. 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 And listen, church, listen. This could not happen if we did not all do what we could do. The parking lot people are important to get people inside. With a smile and with a wave. Listen, people at the door who are greeting, who greet with a smile, who greet with love. Listen, if that didn't happen, they wouldn't come in this room so that they can accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. One of our new members said to me, Pastor, this is in our last class. She said, the reason I joined this church is because when I came, I needed to know where something was. And instead of the usher or the greeter pointing me to where the restrooms were or whatever she was asking about, they said, follow me and I will take you to it. She says, you know how many churches I have gone to when they just point me where to go? She said, the moment that they escorted me to where I needed to go, I said, this is my church. Salvation can only happen if we are, listen, look, there's some folks that would not get saved if we didn't have Junior in the back so that they wouldn't distract him from hearing the message. All of our True Kids workers back there, they are vitally important because while they are back there, watch this now, their parents are in here accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The message couldn't happen without the media people. Listen, church, there are almost 3,000 people who watched the message every week outside of those who are in this room. Listen, without our media people, that message could not happen. Listen, the Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? Well, guess what? How can the preacher preach if they can't hear him? So listen, the audio people are important. Listen, the people in the back are important. There are people serving that you don't know about. There are people, listen, some of you all come and you come hungry. You could have ate breakfast at home, but now you want to eat Sunrise Cafe breakfast. What's my point? God uses every piece in this church. And let me just say this to you, 724 people have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior just this year at this church. That's enough for you to stay in a church for a life. You know most churches, they put a chair up at the front and they say, is there one? See, church, this is fruit. And this is not just fruit. This is eternal fruit. This is fruit because, listen, we have helped them get in position to receive the gospel so they can get saved. And guess what? One day when we get to heaven, we're going to have all these people under our credit. Jesus is going to say, boy, you saved a lot of people. And you're going to say, well, Jesus, all I did was usher. He said, but you ushered, and you ushering made it possible for them to get saved. And here's the interesting thing, and I'm closing here in just a second. I'm closing. Touch your neighbor and say, he closed, close. While you are serving others, God is developing you. See, the development process doesn't end once you become a leader. Even as a pastor, I'm still being developed. Amen. Everybody say years ago. Years ago, because see, while some of you all are serving, you're being developed, but you don't see the irritations that you're getting from serving is there to develop you. Well, why do they have to do this like that to develop you? So years ago, I knew the enemy's goal was to get me to stop trusting people. Because if you don't trust people, God can't use you. Right? And people are people, just like I'm a people. Well, we all are people. Well, none of the peoples is perfect. So I'll never forget. I had somebody on staff at the time, and our church was small. I don't know, we might have been in year three. Real. So, you know, when you're a pastor and you started a church, for the most part, you're going to do everything. I counted. I was an usher. I greeted. Good morning. I did everything, right? Well, one of the things that I did early on is I helped count the money. So the way it was set up back then is one person counted the cash, the other person counted the checks, totaled it up, and then you put the two numbers together, you fill out the paperwork. The paperwork says how many hundreds, how many fives, how many ones, and this is really before online giving. This is, you know, online giving hadn't started and kicked off like it was. So here it is, we're doing that, right? And so my task was to count or add up checks. So I added up the checks and put the total down, and this other person's responsibility was to add up the cash and write down everything, right? So their role was also to go and some of you all may have heard this story, but some of you all haven't. Their role was to also go to the bank and deposit the money. Now, I didn't want to do that because I didn't want nobody to be like, he's taking the money, he taking it. That's why he taking it to the bank. So now, I'm not going to let my good be evil spoken of. That's why I don't even count the money now. Ain't too much to be counting anyway because most of it is electronic these days. But anyway, at that time, we was counting. When this individual got up to go to the bank, The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, they're stealing. And I was like, really? I was like, how? They're right here in front of me. He said, they're stealing. And so the Holy Spirit told me what to do. He says, add up, look at the total of what they said it was in cash, and then go take the envelopes. That's why we need y'all to put your names on the envelopes and stuff. He said, add up the cash envelopes because the two amounts are to match. Don't y'all agree? Man, I added up and didn't match. I'm like, hot diggity dog. So they had went to the bank, and so I called them. I said, hey, come back. I think there's a discrepancy in the numbers. Come back. And so when I got them back, I was like, hey, you know what? And I showed them. I was like, hey, here's a discrepancy. The cash says this, but the envelope says this. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, when I got to the teller said, you know, our totals are wrong. Because sometimes that can happen. They'll correct it for you. But when they told me that, it didn't sit right with me. It's like, no, never. So what I did, I called the bank because they know me. I called the bank and I was like, hey, did you all when one of our staff came in and when they said, oh yeah, we saw them standing in line, but then they got a phone call, so they got out of line. They never got up to the front. I'm like, oh. So of course, you know. I had to deal with that situation, but what's my point right here? Here's my point. The devil wanted me to stop trusting people. I believe had I let him lie to me like that, you wouldn't be here. Because see, in order for something to grow, listen now, in order for something to grow, you gotta let it go. So, how do we apply the message today? Because it's for everybody. Number one, you and I must have a multiplied mindset by getting involved in our church. Because the only way that growth is going to happen, delegation causes multiplication. Here's number two, submit to the structure that's in place. Our church is not a perfect church. But just go with the structure. My mama church, I had the pastor's cell phone number. That's why that pastor dead right now. Reverend Bryce is gone. Some of y'all still calling his phone number. He gone. Here's number three. This is hard. Disciple someone to get involved so they can take your place. Notice I said disciple somebody because that's discipling. Disciple somebody to get involved to the point. Train them so they can take your place. You say, well, Pastor, what am I going to do? By the time you got yourself replaced, God's opened up another door. Because you can't go to another level until you have overqualified for your current level. Here's the last one. Here's a take-home statement. You only qualify for the next level when you have replaced your current level. And so there are some people here that need to get involved here. At Word of Truth Family Church. Yeah, you've been sitting, you've been benching long enough. It's time to do something. And then there are some of you who are, you are involved, but your attitude is off. You serving for you now. It ain't even about people now, it's about you. No. Check your heart, check your spirit. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, there are some people just like all of those cards on that table that have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There may be some people watching me, or there may be some people in this room right now that if you died today, you're not sure you'd go to heaven. Well, we want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ Jesus.